I wanted to ask you this morning, what is the greatest threat that we are facing? What is the greatest threat that we are facing on a daily, on a weekly, monthly, annual basis? Well, some might say that it's ISIS and the growing threat of Islamic terrorism that is happening throughout much of the world. Some might say that it's North Korea right now. Some might point to the growing violence in our culture, the anti-authoritarianism, and the implosion of our urban areas. Some argue that it is the inevitability of a disastrous economic collapse that our nation one day may be facing, and perhaps the entire world. But let me declare to you today that there is a far, far greater threat. A threat of cosmic proportions. A threat that is far more subtle. Far more dangerous. Especially for those of us in the Church of Jesus Christ. And it is oh so subtle. Because the greatest threat is to be deceived. To be deceived into believing that we have attained to the righteousness of God, when in fact we have failed to discern the unrighteousness, the darkness, the sin that still abides within the chambers of our very heart and being. Yes, there is a great spiritual battle that is being waged every day, every hour of the day. And it is for your heart. It is for your soul. It is for my heart and my soul. Where our Lord Jesus today in the gospel lesson from St. Matthew begins to really open this up, begins to address this. And just ahead of the actual reading from the fifth chapter of St. Matthew, Jesus begins his teaching in the so-called Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. And if you were here for Matins in the second reading, it was the reading of the Beatitudes, where Jesus begins to really summarize the whole of the Old Covenant law and how this is to be carried out. Jesus is presenting himself as the new Moses, the new giver of the law upon the mountain. The God who has become flesh, the great theophany of God, the great revelation of God, in bringing about a practical understanding of how the old covenant, which is not abolished with Christ, but that becomes fulfilled in Christ, is carried out on a daily basis. And what Jesus is dealing with here in Matthew 5 and throughout really the gospel is the difference between true righteousness, that is, the righteousness of God, and self-righteousness. A self-righteousness that is grounded and rooted in really delusional thinking. And the enemy twisting our thinking in the belief that we have done something good of our own and good of ourselves. When in fact we hold in contempt the law of God and his commandments. In fact, Jesus is pointing to the Pharisees who in declaring that they have given their lives for God in the study of Torah, in the study of God's laws, they have set themselves up as teachers, and yet they despise in their hearts the righteousness of God, the law of God, and they have set up for themselves in that place, their own traditions of apparent piety and righteousness, such that the righteousness of the Pharisees becomes a very external righteousness, a righteousness that says, you know, that you look great from the outside. He says, you look like whitewashed tombs to many people, but inside, it's full of rottenness. It's full of deceit. It's full of death, where there is no salvation. And so Jesus and his teaching, beginning in the 20th verse of Matthew 5, says something that probably sounded pretty radical to those who were listening. He says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now here were the Pharisees and the scribes, these doctors of the law, and the people are hearing this, unless your righteousness exceeds their righteousness, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you won't be saved. You will continue to live under the judgment of God. But you see, what Jesus is getting at is the righteousness of the heart. The righteousness of the heart. Because the righteousness of the heart is really the righteousness of God. True righteousness. Now what's interesting here, in the Greek, the word righteousness really means to become that which one was created for. In other words, it's really about becoming truly human. A lot of people say, well, you know, forgive my error for my sin. I'm only human. But that's counter to what Scripture teaches us. To become truly human, that is, to become what God has created us to be in His image and likeness, is to become divine by grace. It is to become as Jesus the Christ. This is the righteousness of God manifest in our own lives. To take on the image of God, to let the image of God shine forth in our heart, in our soul. And yet there's in many ways in which we, like the Pharisees, continue to abide at a certain external level of righteousness. Now, within our Antiochian Archdiocese, we sometimes, especially at clergy symposium, which is every other year, some of the priests, we like to bust on one another a little bit, and we will sometimes bust on the priests who have the ponytails and the beard down to their belly button and the prayer beads and so forth. And we're not really judging their piety and their righteousness. But the point is in sort of making in this collegial kidding that we're doing is that we can have all the trappings of a pious and righteous life and really be full of rottenness, to be deceived into believing that we are righteous. You see, the gospel lesson is not so much about the letter and spirit of the law. You know, we can talk about that as much as it is about our hearts being deceived. Because it's the place of the heart, the seed of our very being, where we encounter God, where we encounter the Spirit of God, which brings us to our place of true being. But it is also at that place where sin is bred. Think about it. What Jesus is saying is, you've heard it of old that you shall not kill or you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you're angry with your brother, you're in danger. You're in danger of the council. You're in danger of judgment. You're in danger. You're in danger of hellfire. You see, because it's in the heart. It's in the heart where darkness and sin is also bred. The prophet Jeremiah, in fact, in Jeremiah 7, chapter 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." The heart is deceitful above all things. A righteousness of God. And Jeremiah goes on to say, "And desperately wicked, who can know it?" Who can know it? What the prophet Jeremiah is saying is there's a corruptness. There is a deceitfulness. There is the propensity to be deceived. And who can know it? Who can know that I'm self-deceived, that I have taken an attitude of self-righteousness? It is only a righteousness, a true righteousness of the heart, a righteousness of God that is capable of saving us. And yet, we oftentimes find ourselves in this war. There are still, and I really believe that a practical test that we have for ourselves in terms of whether or not we have truly internalized the law of God, whether we have come to a place where we are just beginning, and I say beginning, to beginning to appropriate the righteousness of God in our own true being, in our own true selves, is to see whether or not the law of God, the commandments of God, and to include the prescriptions and the rules of the church are still coercive. Now, what do I mean by that? Do we obey the law? Do we obey the commandments of God because we fear the consequences? I've been a police officer, as you know, for 32 years, and I know that people oftentimes are not very aware of their speed, and it's sometimes as a result of they're just not paying attention to what speed limit signs are, but a lot of times it's because they just disregard the law. They disregard the law until they see the police officer. And I'll be the first to admit that I'm guilty of this. That I'm guilty of this because, you see, in some manner, I have conceived in the darkness of my own soul the idea that, well, I'm a police officer. I've been a professional driver. I've had training. I know what real speeds, you know, safe speeds are. And those speed limit signs are just for the masses. They don't really apply to me. But what's happening really, I mean, I'm sort of characterizing this, but this is the kind of subtle things that go on in our hearts and being deceived. And we stand before we receive communion every Sunday and making that confession and say and declaring that I am the chief of sinners. I am the chief of sinners. And do we believe it? Do we say it with a righteousness of heart that I am the chief of sinners? Well, if we are being angry at our brother or our sister, if we have taken offense, then no, we don't believe that we are the chief of sinners. We confess that we are the chief of sinners, and yet we can gossip about somebody else, putting ourselves above them or judging another. I would never do that. That's scandalous. And our confession that we are the chief of sinners becomes a lie. You see, if we truly believe and we continue to acknowledge, because our faith really is not, it's not about a one-time commitment to Christ. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, St. Paul says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." That is, it is God himself. It is God in Jesus Christ who is the author and source of our salvation, but it is by faith in which we continue in the faith. So you see, justification, that is, being right with God, is not a one-time decision. But it is a daily decision, a daily commitment to give myself over, to yield my darkness and my sin unto God, to recognize every day in my honesty that I truly am the chief of sinners. And if we really believed that, if we really focused upon that, we would never, ever judge another. Then that includes the driver on the road that cuts us off, whether by accident or on purpose. We would never even get angry because we would be so focused upon our need for forgiveness and the mercy of God that we are the chief of sinners. Let us not be deceived. Fyodor Dostoevsky, the great Russian journalist and author, novelist of the 19th century, he writes this. He said, "The awful thing is that beauty is mysterious as well as terrible. God and the devil are fighting there, and the battlefield is the heart of men." The battlefield, that God and the devil, they're fighting in the same place. You see, it is the heart, even an unregenerate man, it is the heart that discerns what is good and true and beautiful. But it is the heart that the enemy is trying to deceive. There's a battle going on there. And the man that wrote that was a man who, though a pious Orthodox Christian, knew quite personally the spiritual battle that was happening in his heart and soul. You see, Dostoevsky battled with his own lust and extramarital affairs. He had a gambling addiction, which caused him to die, a man still in very much in debt. He was a broken person in many ways, and he understood the battle that was happening. But Dostoevsky also understood how in our own sin and darkness our hearts can be so deceived. In fact, in one of his greatest works, he gets at the heart of what our Lord was teaching us this morning in the gospel lesson with regard to getting angry at our brother or sister and taking offense. Listen to what he writes. He says, "Above all, do not lie to yourself. A man who lies to himself and listens to his own lie comes to a point where he does not discern truth, any truth, either in himself or anywhere around him, and thus falls into disrespect towards himself and others. Not respecting anyone, he ceases to love, and having no love, he gives himself up to passions and coarse pleasures in order to occupy and amuse himself, and in his vices reaches complete bestiality. And it all comes from lying continually to others and to himself. A man who lies to himself is often the first to take offense. It sometimes feels very good to take offense, doesn't it? And surely he knows that no one has offended him, and that he himself has invented the offense and told lies just for the beauty of it, that he has exaggerated for the sake of effect, that he has picked up on a word and made a mountain out of a pea. He knows all that, and still he is the first to take offense. He likes feeling offended. It gives him great pleasure, and thus he reaches the point of real hostility." You see, Dostoevsky, really in this writing, is getting at the heart of what our Lord is saying. It's not just about getting angry, because there's times where we can be justified in our anger. But it is about the heart being deceived. It is about lying to ourselves. It is about still living under the coercive nature of the law. How many of us, we shy away from the confessional until I remind us in Lent, unless we make that one confession a year, we are excommunicated from the church. We're still living under the coercive of the external constraints of the law, rather than discovering the real law, the Logos, who has become flesh, who is resident in our own heart. And in knowing that, in confessing that, we would be coming often to the confessional, because we would want to receive that grace and that mercy. Unless we are deceived, the righteousness of the heart that is capable of saving us must be the righteousness of God. A continual communion, a daily commitment to commune with our Lord Jesus Christ in the heart. In closing, I wanted to remind you, for those of you who had the opportunity to view the director's cut of Subdeacon Adam Roberts' new film called The Orthodox West, on documenting the Western Rite. And it features Father Patrick Cardine and Father Alban Wagner and myself in telling our stories of coming into the Orthodox faith, and our stories about why it was that we came into the Western Rite rather than choosing the Byzantine Rite. And one of the things, if you didn't see the film, Father Patrick Cardine, who pastors a church down near Warrenton, Virginia, has been a mentor of mine. And Father Patrick, in all his Virginia and Southern charm, he said, in all this talk about Catholicity, that is, in the church being for all people in all times and all places, he said, I began to realize that in listening or remembering the words that I read of the Desert Fathers who said, if you can't find Christ in your own cell, then you can't find him anywhere. And Father Patrick simply said, if I felt that I had to go off to an exotic place or have an exotic experience and something very much outside of my tradition, my culture, then I would be afraid that I would deceive myself into being holy. But he said, my cell is the West. My cell is the West, and therefore, I need to find Christ within my own cell. And if we take it down one further, our inner cell is the cell of our heart and our soul. Are we finding Christ there? Are we finding Christ there? Are we allowing him to gaze into our true heart, our true motives, and that which is resonant there? Are we allowing his light to expose the darkness, the unconfessed sin, the sinful and disordered passions and impulses which continue to hold us in bondage? The righteousness of God. Let us discover that every day in our own heart, because it is there where Christ resides, that we may find healing, that we may find holiness, that he may bring us to a place where we once again are truly human, reflecting the glory of God, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of the heart. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.